don't know. Do I feel nice? No, I don't actually. I look nice. Thank you. Woo! I'll bear that in mind, Diane. I'll bear it. Dave, I hope you're not listening.
Right.
I wonder what, if I went round and asked each of you what you would say was the most significant thing that Jesus did. Some of you might say healing. Some of you might have a favorite story from the Gospels. Some of you might have a favorite saying of Jesus that sticks in your mind. And of course, all of the things that Jesus did were really important. Going to the cross was important. Resurrection was important. But he only did them because he did other things to make them possible. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. As we go through this process of spiritual discipline, as we think about the things we should be doing and the ways we should be worshipping and so on. Last week, you remember, we focused on praise. Let's have a look at two things rolled in together that Jesus particularly did in order to enable him to do all of his ministry. The first thing was that he wanted to and spent time being with the Father. He wanted to and he spent time being with the Father. It says a lot about us who we spend time with. It speaks volumes who we spend time with. So who do you spend time with? You're probably thinking about the person next to you. Possibly, in some cases. No. One or two people say, no, definitely not, no. Don't want to spend time with them. It says a lot of us about us. Now, you're probably getting the message through the series that we've gone so far that this is all about good habits, about getting into a pattern of living where we pray, where we praise. Last week, we were thinking about praise and worship and how important that is. It's vital to our growth and development as disciples. Now, the word disciples means learner. So, in a sense, we should be going around with big L plates. But the other thing that we have that we're labeled with is the name of Christ. God says he tattoos our name on his hands. We're valued, we're special. So as we learn, as we are learners, as we're disciples, as we grow, we need to spend time with God. We know that it builds us up. We know in our heads, but our hearts sometimes tell us different things. The little quote you've got on your discipleship cards, have you all got them this week? You don't have to wave them, I'm not going to make a show, but just double check that you've got them. The little verse is from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus tells his disciples to go into a room on their own, find space, find time, and spend time with the Father, with our Creator, with our Lord. It's important. And time again in the Gospels, we read of Jesus taking time to spend time with the Father. Sometimes that time was when he was on his own. Sometimes it was in the middle of crisis. Either way, he spent time with the Father. That's the first thing. But the second thing, which for many of us is much more difficult, is Jesus sought out solitude. He sought out solitude. Now, the word solitude tends to have a bit of a bad press. Because solitude we associate with lonely and separation. But actually, we have an example here which we might have something to learn from. Few other passages in the Gospels also highlight Jesus spending time in solitude. Feeding of the 5,000. After it, Jesus went off, it tells us in Matthew 14, to a solitary place. Right at the start of his ministry, in Mark chapter 1, he was just beginning to experience the demands of crowds around him, calling out and reaching out and saying, Jesus, look at me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, come to me. And before he dealt with all of those issues, he went off. He got up early in the morning and went off to a solitary place. The getting up early in the morning thing I would struggle with. He got up early in the morning and went off to a solitary place. So we have the passage that was read to us this morning. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law, no mother-in-law jokes necessary. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering, and he healed her. And what happened after that? Well, it's what happened every time Jesus did something miraculous. The crowds gathered. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. So there he was. He'd done one thing, and as a consequence, as always happened, crowds gathered of people with all sorts of problems, all sorts of needs, very, very strange people. I'll just not look around this morning. All sorts of needs clamored for the attention of Jesus. Now, humanly, of course, we would have carried on. Because humanly, if we're in that situation, we would have enjoyed that and thought, right, we're on the crest of a wave now. This is the opportunity to carry on helping people, to carry on healing people, to carry on bringing out these demons. This is it. I'm on the crest of a wave. People are recognizing who I am. That's great. But Jesus didn't. He stopped. And he went off to a solitary place. Now, you could say, and theologians and scholars have argued about this for the last many hundreds of years, you could say that was rejecting people, to go off and leave people still with needs. But the only way Jesus could do what he did was to take time out on his own with God. It's a cycle, and it has to happen. Time with God, ministry. Time with God, ministry. Solitude, ministry, and so on. And we see it in those examples from the Gospels. So how do we feel about that word, solitude? There are lots of different personalities in this church this morning. Lots of different personalities in each pew. In a few cases, lots of different personalities in each person. But God can heal. Seriously, there are lots of different personality types, and there are lots of processes and systems for identifying personality types. And the one that's been done on me many times is a thing called Myers-Briggs. And that works out what personality type. The whole idea of it is you do it so you can work out what part of a team you are. And how you can work better with other people by understanding their personality types. And the first category that they look at is introvert or extrovert, I or E. And that's not necessarily about extroverts being bouncy and lively. It's about where you get your energy from. Now, some of us get our energy from being with other people. From having conversations, from having fun together, from being in a crowded room and chatting to folk. They would be the E people. And some of us get our energy from being on our own. They would be the I people. Some of you will be one, some of you will be the other. The reality is that those who are happy on their own have a lot to learn from this passage. Because Jesus took time out. He was solitary to be with the Father. Not just for his own gratification. Not just because he enjoyed being on his own, necessarily. But to be with the Father. So he could carry on doing the work that God had called him to do. And I think there's a fantastic irony that I've been asked to speak on solitude and quiet. Because those of us who are more E, more extrovert, get our energy from other people, have to work harder at this. We have to be, as the modern terminology would say, intentional. Thank you. I'm liking this pew this morning. We have to intend, we have to be deliberate about the way we live our lives, so we deliberately go against what we think is best for us. Now that sounds very contradictory, doesn't it? But actually, Jesus knows what's best for us better than we do. So we have to deliberately work on taking time out. Work on being solitary. We do need, but not necessarily want, solitude. Why do we need that? To allow God to speak to us through the silence. And just because we're on our own, it doesn't mean we're silent. We're not very good at turning the off switch off. We always have things going through our minds and things we want to do and so on. But if we can find stillness and silence, then God speaks. But also, we need solitude, we need quiet, we need space away from others to allow us to hear from and discover ourselves. Now, this is the hardest bit of all, because we all know that there are bits of us that we don't really like. The bits we keep hidden from others, the bits in the dark recesses, the things we've said or done, or the habits we have that make us shudder when we think about them. Solitude is about addressing those so we can become more the people God has called us to be. So going back to that passage and the other passages I've referred to this morning, to fulfill his calling, Jesus intentionally spent time with the Father and sought out solitude so he could be on his own. If, as I do, if we believe that we all have a calling, then we all have an example to follow. And many of us know the reality of, if we don't spend time out with God, if we don't meet with the Father, if we don't have that solitude and quiet of spirit as well as environment, then we dry up and we get stale. Then we burn out in our ministry and our calling. Ultimately, if Jesus needed to do it to fulfill his calling, then we need to do it to fulfill ours too. Now, we've already had a little bit of quiet this morning. We're going to move on to prayer now, after which I'm going to encourage you to be solitary and quiet just for a few minutes. And believe me, when the children come back, that'll go. So prepare yourselves as we pray. Prepare yourselves as we spend a little bit more time in God, because it's hard. Just think how long that 2 minute silence on Remembrance Sunday feels. And you're waiting for something to happen. On the radio, Joe will correct me on this, but on the radio, if after a certain length of time there's no sound, an automatic, is it about 20 seconds? An automatic tape clicks in. That's a technical answer, but it's a few seconds ultimately, and something will kick in.